Former Utah Jazz center Mark Eaton, who played with the Jazz from 82 to 93, joins us now. Mark, thanks for the time.
Oh, you're welcome. How are you this evening?
Good, thanks. 82 to 93 is a really long time to be with a team, and yet Sloan doubled you up and then some. That's how long he was there. You were there when Frank Layden resigned, a beloved guy, and Jerry Sloan replaces him and somehow manages to outdo even what Layden had done with the team. Can you take us back to what the reaction was when he replaced Layden?
Well, I think everyone was shocked initially that Frank resigned because that was in the middle of the season, but honestly, Frank had never, he loved coaching, but he really enjoyed management more. And I think at that point in time, he recognized that Jerry had what it took to take the team to the next level. He'd done a nice job building the foundation, getting us out of the cellar, making us a respectable team. And Jerry was able to take that infrastructure and tune it and challenge it and tweak it and get us to where we needed to be a contending team day in and day out.
Mark, I read that you said that Coach Sloan had a massive impact on your life. How so?
Well, the coaching situation here in Utah is very unique, where these guys became your friends as well as your coaches. You know, a lot of guys, I think Jalen Rose was talking about this morning, play for coaches that, are just here, show up, this is the time you need to be here, this is the time you need to be there, see you on the bus, and that was it, do your job, and shut up and go home. And the Jazz always took a different philosophy where Frank and Jerry are both very concerned about your well-being, how are you, and so they could yell at you at halftime and then afterwards say, come on, let's go get a beer. And I think that's what really endeared him to the players, and as well as his philosophy, and endeared him to me, because you knew what you could count on every day. He came to work with the same attitude, the same fight, and the expectations were the same every single day. And if you knew what those were, if it wasn't a moving target all the time, it was easy to play for him. And he helped me immensely in terms of teaching me how to be a little tougher and challenge me a little bit more and pushing me beyond probably where I would have pushed myself.
We're talking to Mark Eaton, former Jazz center. I'm curious, it's shocking to see a coach last as long as Sloan did. Mark Popovich is the only one to ever be with the franchise for longer in the head coach position. To what do you attribute that longevity? Is it more about the front office? Is it about his ability to get along with generations of players? Or is it about the market?
I think it was a combination of all three of those. Because, first of all, he was had an extra intuition about himself and his ability to get players to play together and to like each other, and was very concerned about what was going on in the locker room because he always thought that was more important than talent. You could get guys to play together, you had a chance to win. And then the franchise came along behind him because they believed in him. He said the same things every day. They understood what his work ethic was. He got results. And Larry Miller, who was a very involved owner of the team, saw that and recognized who Jerry really was deep down. And he says, you know what, I've got your back. You're our coach. And so when we hit rough patches or things happened that didn't go well and Jerry got a little worried or scared, Larry Miller was always there saying, don't worry, I've got you, which is a very unique thing in the world of professional sports, as you well know. And then I think to the fans, they loved his down-home, heartland, farm-style attitude, which was a real contrary positional in a lot of ways, or an image to the Pat Rileys of the 80s and 90s, and the coaching style that he brought was just down home, and I think that really resonated with the fans, and they loved him for it.
Mark, I was watching some old interviews with Coach Sloan, and one thing that really stuck with me was several years ago he said that his proudest season was the second year, 1998, 97, 98, when they came back after losing to the Bulls and made it all the way back to the finals. The fact that they were able to regroup and go on another run, even though they didn't win, he felt like that was his best work as a coach. Now, I know that you weren't on those teams. You retired several years prior, but I know that you were very close to Coach Sloan and remained close to him long after he retired as well. Did it bother him deep down inside that he was never able to deliver a championship to Utah? How much did that eat at him as he walked away from the coaching ranks?
Yeah, I think it bothered him a little bit, obviously, because having gone there 2 years in a row and not getting over the hump is incredibly frustrating. But at the same time, I think he was proud of the guys. He was proud of the effort. And that's all he ever asked for was put a great effort out there. He never played basketball as a tuxedo, as a player, and he expected nothing less from his team, that you go out there and you'd fight and you'd grovel, as he would call it, and no jackpotting around and, playing like a bunch of, looking like mashed potatoes out there, As long as you were able to get your game together and give him a good effort and rebound and play defense and give it your best shot, he had no problem with the win or loss at the end of the night. Because he was just a fighter. And so I think the fact that team was able to come back from the difficult loss of going to the finals for the first time, and, as you well know, it's a long season when you go all the way to the finals, and to come back and get it back together and fight again and get back there again, I think that was a shining moment for him, because it's like, well, at least we got back here. We gave ourselves a chance. That's all he ever asked for.
It's Spain and Company, Sarah Spain, Ariel Helwani on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're talking to former Utah Jazz center Mark Eaton, who played with the Jazz from 82 to 93, about the passing of longtime coach Jerry Sloan. What's your best Jerry Sloan story? We saw in The Last Dance a couple moments where his very dry sense of humor came out. He obviously was very demonstrative with the refs, but was kind of soft-spoken at times outside of that. Do you have any good stories about his personality off the court?
Getting to spend a lot of evenings with him, having a couple of beers after a game, those are my fondest memories. And I can't say there's anything that stands out, because he was just a genuine guy. I mean, I think if you go back and look at his, if you go on YouTube and watch his Hall of Fame speech, his acceptance speech, I think that really gives you some insight of who this man really was. He was humble. He was kind. And he was the kind of coach that, I could say, "Coach, I'm building a fence. Would you bring your post hole digger over here and help me put it up?" He says, "Yep, I'm throwing in the truck. I'm on my way over." And it's just such a rare, I mean, think about it, in the world of pro sports, right? And with all the drama that goes on and the hype and the media and everything else that gets that's in and around the world of pro sports, to have a guy like that, who was a longest tenured coach in professional sports history when he retired, is just nothing short of remarkable, and it's so unique. And I just can't say enough about what a great human being he was on and off the court, and I love playing for him.
Mark, what was it like for you to watch how his run in Utah ended? So unfortunate and unceremonious to have the coach, walk away after butting heads allegedly with, this young star player in Darren Williams. As you were watching that, as someone who loved him so dearly and respected him so much and was in the trenches with him, to see it end for him like that, how did that make you feel?
It was sad, because I know his greatest fear was that his team would quit on him. And I think in his mind, whether it was happening or not, the trouble he was having with D. Will and the stuff that was going on with the team at that point in time, I think he just finally said, "This is enough. If I'm going to have to battle this, I'm going to have to continue to fight to get this guy's respect and the other players as well. This just isn't worth it anymore." And could have been handled differently all the way around. I think he would probably say yes, and I think the management would probably say yes. It was just pro sports gets pretty intense at times, and so it was difficult to watch him walk away. And at the same time, when do you end? After that many years, that many seasons, and 1,225 wins, there's no easy way to walk out the door gracefully. So it was sad to see it at that point in time, but at the same time, I could tell he was done.
Mark Eaton, longtime Jazz center with us here on Spain and Company, talking about the passing of Jerry Sloan. I mentioned before, there's the banner up with the Jazz, 1,223 wins. There's the number 4 retired by the Bulls, the first number retired by the franchise. Whether as a coach or a player or a friend to many, how do you think we should remember Jerry Sloan? What's the most important thing to remember from the life that he put together?
I think that he brought the best of himself to the court every single day and to life, and was there for his teammates, for his friends, for his family, for his players, for the city, for the city of Chicago, especially early on, and then here to Salt Lake City, and just a guy you want in the foxhole with you.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you joining us to offer up some of your memories of him. And I saw your Twitter post was about sort of the fight ending for him, and he was sick for a bit down the stretch here. So some peace for him today, and we really appreciate the time.
No problem. Anytime.